Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Well, hello, sirs and madams. It is Garbled Twistery, and currently we are in the middle of the in-between election episodes. And while I know we are in the middle of fighting the Tea Sippers and the original Americans in two different wars, I'm also certain more details of those shenanigans will come up as we look at future election candidates. So what are we looking at for 1814, Well, to be honest, not much. I mean, there is some interesting stuff going on in the child labor industry, so let's see what's going on there. Yeah. You see, in 1814, some big fat Boston manufacturing company completed building some big fat cotton mill. I know, big woof, the Industrial Revolution was so last year, why should we care? Well, the thing about the Charles River Cotton Mill is that it was built for a bunch of Boston investors who were like acquaintances that hung out sometimes. And it was engineered in a way that was different than a lot of the cotton mills before it. Indeed, it started a whole new manufacturing genre. Yeah, this mill was that indie movie that some low-tier producer sees and calls up his buddy William Castle and is all like, "We got a live one, Billy Bob." I think I'm exaggerating a little bit. The system wasn't totally revolutionary. It's just that this was a catalyst for it to keep being used because all those investors were involved. The first person to do it was Sammy Slater. Remember him? I did an in-between episode about his cool wife getting the first patent, but yeah, the way Mr. Slater did it was inspired by his experience living in villages with tea sippers, and he ran the mill based off of the family lives in the community. You know what that means. How old are you, Trixie? 8 years old? Off to the factory, little girl. And if the kids messed up, Slater didn't, like, punch them, which I wouldn't call a plus and shouldn't be an exception, but whatever. When they messed up, he just taxed them instead. To his strange, morally uneven credit, he did try to import families to work in the mill, but they just weren't as good as the New England families. Yeah, Slater literally was doing the whole Silicon Valley capitalism routine. If you worked at the factory, you got your own company house with company stores to shop at, company SAT prep where the college kids come in to tutor your kids. The company took care of you. Company pancakes, a free car from Oprah Winfrey, the works. So that was the blueprint, okay? Let's talk about the new mill. You see, all these fancy pants Boston Investa people saw what Slater was doing and were all like, quote, "This is ours now. We're going to take this. This is it. This is the thing we're going to do," unquote. And poof, vertical integration was born. What's that? Oh, it's complete control over every portion of the production process. Why is that big? Now, other companies can't show up and be all like, "Hey, you have to pay me for a specific screwdriver on that specific screw." Nuh-uh, those days are over. Vertical integration.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, and this mill also, like, made mass production a thing. Yeah, they set it up so that the machines were powered by water, a force of nature. This was so freaking revolutionary, and manufacturing was moving so quickly that there was no formal labor force alive that would be able to keep up. So what was the solution to this sudden labor shortage? Little Susie at the candy store. Put it to work. Yeah. This was the first mill to move straight from cotton to cloth under one roof. The system was much more controlled than in England, where they were already beating people up in the factory for taking a lunch break. Yeah. The investors hired a bunch of farm girls. They lived in company housing where they were strictly supervised by a bunch of farm women. Yeah. 80 hours a week, 4:30 to 7, 30-minute breakfast, 30-minute lunch. But anyways, as you can imagine, this mill made a ridiculous amount of money. But of course, nothing lasts forever. Later on, everything would slowly fall apart for multiple reasons. One is that the Charles River is like a C-list performer of a river if you're trying to make a mill. Another reason is a common and easy one. Cheap foreign labor was hired to replace the women, and the organization of the factory was loosened, and the wealth gap increased, and other people started coming up with better technology so nobody needed the mill anymore. The usual symptoms of technological progress combined with a desire to keep the money train going without having to innovate. So, yeah. In case you were wondering what was going on in the manufacturing world around this time, I've laid it all out. We have vertical integration now. Congrats? If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, the dancing triceratops, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Also, I have a Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com and find Garble Twistery, you'll gain not only the access, but the ability to determine what gets to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content and suggestion boxes open. So come on over. Anyways, next time, run for your lives! It's a Category 4! Why, yes, it's the Great September Gale of 1815! Run! Run!
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Company pancakes.